Fuzzy TV.
Everything hurts in this life. It's hard to go 5 minutes without some physical pain or emotional pain. Just trying to wedge my camera into the tripod, I have to push up this little spring thing, and I have issues now with my hands. I don't know if I have arthritis or what the heck's starting up here, but some of you have problems with your back. You can't even move without your back hurting. None of us would want to see any of us getting out of bed in the morning. It might be humorous. I suppose the celestial world probably are quite amused by seeing us, the members of the body of Christ, the future aristocracy of heaven. It's probably quite humorous to see us getting out of bed in the morning, trying to put our pants on, trying to bend over to pick something up. It's just even the little things. Somebody told me once that getting old is hell. I'm tending to believe it. And it's just a constant battle. Solomon said this. Solomon said that it's the constant replay of the drudgery of life, the over and over and over again. Sun rises, sun sets. And this is when people are tempted to fall into the trap of things have always gone on this way and they will ever go on this way forever. But Peter quells that thought when he says, there have been major crises in the past for this old earth, and there will be major crises in the future. And so things are not going to always go on this way. So that is good news to start the week here on MZTV. I hope that you all saw the video yesterday from Grace Cafe. I really enjoy listening to those again and watching those after the passage of 25 years. And once again, I need to thank Rodney Paris and my sister Kelly. Rodney puts those videos together. Kelly is always letting you know when the videos are ready, sending you emails. And we apologize for the email issue we had at the end of last week. We didn't notify you via email of the Thursday or Friday videos, but that has been taken care of. So thank you for your patience. Thank you for the support I received from you, the body of Christ. Couldn't do it without it. I'm very grateful, very thankful. I can never say it enough. So, yeah, if I seem a little morose today, a little down, it's just because I'm a little morose and a little down, but that's okay because God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We keep our minds on Christ, and we have the advantage of living in this era where we are so close to the end of Aeon 3. And anytime you're having a terrible time, I want you to do what I do. I put my mind on the near future. I put my mind on the promises God has made to us in Christ Jesus. I put my mind on the fact that there is now therefore no condemnation, that we are special, that everything God does, he does it for us and not to us. And so these are always sustaining thoughts, that this life is passing away. That is really, really helpful. This era is temporary. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that the era is limited. And it is. There's been a day set where this era will end. And so don't be overwhelmed if you can help it. Set your mind on things above. Try not to be overwhelmed by the crashing waves of life and the pain, physical pain constantly, emotional pain constantly. We get these brief respites of relaxation and peace, and I always try to just milk those moments for all they're worth. Sometimes we don't know how we're going to get through the next day, and yet somehow we do, and the days turn into weeks, the weeks turn into months, the months turn into years. But I am convinced, ladies and gentlemen, that when we are snatched away and we feel that rush of glory, that rush of immortality, and the joy of seeing our Lord, that everything we have been through in this life will seem but a distant dream. And we will know for certain, as we should know now, but then we will know for certain, that every single thing we went through was priming us for our future life, for our permanent enjoyment. This era is temporary, but the enjoyment will be permanent. And the enjoyment comes no other way but on the back of the pains and the trials of this life. God has given us each other to encourage one another. And this we will do until the hour of our departure, of our snatching away from this evil eon. We are more out of place here than ever before. Each day it seems to get worse. I don't understand how people can go another day. I really don't. I was just at the grocery store today, and I see people joking with each other and seemingly floating through this world and being quite happy, quite satisfied. I know it's all an illusion. As Henry David Thoreau says, men everywhere live lives of quiet desperation. But doesn't it seem like you're the only one that's the misfit, the one that doesn't fit in, the one that doesn't belong here? The analogy I always think of is an airliner. You know, when you strap in and get ready to go on a flight, and that big lumbering jet starts going down the taxiway, it's really a strange sensation because the thing creaks and groans and it's just rumbling down the taxiway, rumbling, because it is not built, it is not designed to be driven down a runway on the tarmac. It's not designed for that. But once that thing, once that giant machine lumbers into position and starts barreling down the runway, the second that machine takes flight, it is now doing what it is meant to do, what it is designed to do. And then it is a thing of beauty. It is a thing of quiet. It is a thing of peace. It's a thing of stability. And it really is some kind of a miracle when you can be hurtling through the atmosphere at over 500 miles per hour and be sitting in a comfortable chair drinking a cup of coffee or an orange juice, or in my case, Jack Daniels with Coke. So we weren't designed to be here. That's why you feel like you're rumbling and squeaking. This is not your realm. Our realm is inherent among the celestials. This ain't the celestials. You weren't built for this. I'll say it again. Our realm is inherent among the celestials. Just as the Boeing 747, its realm is inherent in the air, in the sky. It's very awkward, very cumbersome on the ground. And so are we, awkward and cumbersome. And it hurts. But with each other, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through it together. One more short video today on the second death. I'm done with the topic today. I want to remind you what Jesus Christ saved us from. saved us not from eternal torment, because there's no such thing as eternal torment. That is a theological fiction. I've made many videos about that. I wrote a book about it. Martin Zender Goes to Hell. So if we're not saved from eternal torment, what are we saved from? We're saved from death. Were it not for the death, the entombment, and the resurrection of Christ, death would be our end. And in that case, what would be the purpose of life? As Paul said, if we believe in Christ in this life only, and if this life is all there is, then we might as well eat, drink, and do merry. That's a logical conclusion. But since there is a life to come, then we live looking ahead to that life. And that will inform our behavior here. It will help to inform our attitude, our disposition. And may our disposition be on those things which tend toward peace, toward quietness. And we just want to give the gospel a good name while we're going through this life. And I would encourage one and all to live in a manner which would give a good name to the gospel of the grace of God. Let's show people who mock us for believing in the complete and total grace of God that it is grace, not law, that has the power to make us living letters of the truth. Law condemns, because humans can't do the law of God. It's such an irony that the Ten Commandments, which purported to be the way to please God, ended up being a dead end by design. It was purposed to be that. And the more people impose laws upon themselves, whether the laws of Moses or those that are self-imposed, the more the human rebels against it, and the result is a walk that's not pleasing to God. The ultimate irony is, only by knowing that no matter what you do, you cannot come into the disfavor of God. Because Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Who is it in this world who would condemn us? Who can bring a charge against us? Christ, the justifier? The one who died, was roused for our sakes? Christ is the only one who can bring any indictment against us. No one can indict you. No one on this planet can indict you. And don't ever succumb to someone else attempting to indict you, whether for your behavior or for your beliefs. The only one who can indict us is Christ, and he's our justifier. Well, that's convenient, isn't it? When you look at the word condemned in the concordant literal New Testament of Revelation 20:13, I think that's a bad translation. I've told you that before. I know it's a bad translation, because according to A. Enoch, he believes that everyone at the Great White Throne, when the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life, is opened, there's no names in it. No names in it. He believes, and if you take this translation to be the best translation, they were each condemned in accord with their acts. Condemned is the word katakrino. It's a down judgment. But that only one of the ancient Greek manuscripts read that way. The other ones said krino, without the prefix kata, which is down. And so they are each judged in accord with their acts. And so not everybody is going to go to the lake of fire, which is the second death, from the Great White Throne. Because there are names written in the Book of Life. Else it would seem an absurdity to open the book. So I believe that judged is a correct translation there. And as for these folks who are seeking to make the second death a place of some form of life, I would say this. Were I to be seeking life for people at the Great White Throne, I would be seeking it from the scroll of life. Well, this is a great point. There are many people of our acquaintance today that don't have faith. God didn't give them faith. They're not appointed to Aeonian life, and so they will be at the Great White Throne. And what do we wish for them? We wish for them life. Life is the opposite of death. You see, it's not life that I hate. I don't hate this life. I'm careful about saying that because I never say it. Say, I hate this world. It's a big difference. I love life, but I hate the world. I hate the present system. I hate the present cosmos because it is in complete opposition to God and Christ. And it's only the rare person in this system, in this cosmos, that has any interest, any deep interest, any true interest in the things of God and the things of Christ. It's not life I hate. I hate the system. I hate the world. I love life. And if I were looking for life for my friends and my relations at the Great White Throne, I would look for it, wouldn't you, in the Book of Life. Because that's where these names will be written, as people there are judged in accord with their acts. Many of our friends and relations, while they didn't have faith and while they oppose us, the majority of their acts were decent because they're decent people. I'd be seeking life from the scroll of life, not from the second death. Why would anyone seek life in the second death? It's an absurdity. It's futile. It's hopeless. And yet these gentlemen, others joined them over the years. Ted McDivitt, Rick Farwell, and now I read one of the Daily Goodies from Clyde Pilkington, and he runs a little piece in there by a guy who says that the Lake of Fire is a processing, a purifying place for humans, and I think another one bites the dust. And another one's gone, and another one's gone. Another one bites the dust. It's going to get you too. But no, it's not going to get you, because you're founded on the Word of God, you're founded on laws of language, and you're founded on rules of scriptural interpretation. You're barking up the wrong tree to look for life in a place called the second death. Are you crazy? No, you're not crazy. So you look for it in a book called Life. And I love the Lamb's Book of Life. I love it. And I can't wait, because we're going to be there. As I told you, I strongly suspect that we will be the judges at the Great White Throne. So I love the Book of Life. I'm going to love to see the names written there. You ain't going to find it in death. The guy who wrote the objection to the second death, I was reading that last week. He assumes in another part of his letter that being cast into the lake of fire will hurt. For those people whose acts were subpar, they will be cast into the lake of fire. But this is not, the lake of fire is not a Vincent Price movie. People aren't dragged into the lake of fire. That's what would happen in a Vincent Price movie. And those whose names were not found written in the Book of Life were dragged, screaming and kicking, into the lake of fire, which is the second death. But no, they're cast into the lake of fire. Cast. It's very quick. They won't even know it's happening. In fact, after people who have been cast from the lake of fire, cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death, after they are delivered from death, when death is abolished at the consummation, they will look around and say, when am I going to the lake of fire? I know my name was not written in the Book of Life. So I wish it had been, but I guess I better gear up for the lake of fire. And somebody will have to say to them, I want to line up for this. I want to say this to them. You've been in there for 10,000 years. What? Yeah, 10,000 years has passed That's how quick it's going to be. Just like you come out of surgery asking the surgeon, asking the doctor, when am I going to be wheeled into the operating room? Oh, the surgery's over. You're in the recovery room. It's always stunning. Stunning to those who have been through that experience. Where'd the time go? Where did the time go? This will be the experience of those who come out of the second death. When am I going to the second death? I guess it's going to, I better gear up for it. Dude, you're done. Huh? Yeah, you're in the recovery room. It's the consummation, man. Death's been abolished. We'll send you the DVD of the highlights from Eon 5 that you missed, but I... Welcome to Eternal Life with God, Adolf, and others. I want to make this a short video. I didn't plan on that long introduction, but I wanted to share my morosity with you. Or is it morosity? Can't be morosity. It can't be. It's got to be morosity. I wanted to share it with you, and it helped me to talk about it and to hear what you have to say about it in the comments. I'm interested to hear what you have to say. And I've said this many times, but I'm convinced that I can't be happy in this life because of you, because of the body of Christ, because of the corporate pain of the body. We suffer together. This is why I think that we will know when the dead in Christ rise first, right? That's what's going to happen. Paul says that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the dead in Christ will rise first at the snatching away. And I believe that we will know that. And we don't know how soon after that we will be made immortal. But the dead will rise first. Thereupon we, the living, who are remaining to the coming of the Lord, will meet them in the air and be snatched away together with them. I'm convinced. I told you this before, but I want to end the video with this. I'm going to talk about how when my mother died tomorrow. I thought this was the end of the lake of fire, second death, but it's not. I'm going to talk about my mother, the death of my mother, tomorrow, if you will permit me. Isn't this interesting that we will be aware that the dead have just been roused? Like, let's say the snatching away happens when Manfred and Phil and I are at Cracker Barrel restaurant on a Tuesday. And suddenly, we're just going to look at each other like the dead in Christ just roused. And they're going to go, yeah, I know. And every one of us are going to know. Why? Because of this corporate pain. Because the body of Christ is so connected. And one cannot suffer without the others suffering. One does not rejoice without the others rejoicing. And so since the body is so connected and we have such a line in the sky, a communication, spiritual communication that defies anything modern technology can offer, because of this, why wouldn't we be suddenly aware that they're alive? They just came out of the grave. And Manfred, yeah, I know. You felt that too? Yes. And then that would mean then that we, within moments or within an atomic particle of time, we will then be made immortal to join them. But how can we not be aware of this amazing joy that has just been experienced by our brothers and sisters who have gone to repose in Christ, including the Apostle Paul? That's how connected we are. Oh, I think we're going to know. And I think that will be, because we're so connected, and I think that will be the indication that our change is imminent.